You're listening to an edited version of the live Voices of Montana statewide radio program. Find us on Facebook and subscribe for further podcasts wherever you get your audio on demand. I'm Tom Schultz, host of the program. Thanks for joining us, and please feel free to contact me at studio@voicesofmontana.com.
I was reading this recently, too. Sociologists have discovered that folks who rated themselves very happy, quote, very happy, and I think you have to be pretty serious to rate yourself very happy. They volunteer 5 or more hours a week. Welcome to Voices of Montana. Tom Schultz alongside our tow rope tours in Great Falls, celebrating community and celebrating our connections in the 406. As we had a great day in Lewistown, we'll talk about that as we kind of get going here. But a big lineup today from Great Falls. We're on KQDI locally. We'll be here until 10 o'clock at Tracy's Diner, 127 Central in Great Falls, and we will talk. I'm not sure John can make it. John's been real busy. He started a new restaurant, but they have done an awful lot of things. Lucas Sear, the owner of Double Barrel Coffee House Cafe, did a whole ton of things. Dave Snuggs, I think you guys are well familiar with, my neighbor in need. We have got Scott Wilson from Cascade Electric also coming down a bit later on. We're going to start the program, though, with Kathy Manteigam. She is the director of Camp Francis, and also Kevin Sukit is here, child bereavement program coordinator. Good morning, you guys.
Morning.
Morning, Tom.
First of all, thank you for being here. Thank you for the work you do. Appreciate that. Maybe you can talk a little bit, Kathy, about your program, and obviously the need, filling a need, is very fulfilling for a career choice, isn't it?
Definitely. You know, I have been really fortunate to be involved with first volunteering and then helping to direct Camp Francis for the last 20 years. We're sponsored by Peace Hospice, which is part of Benefice Health Systems here in Great Falls. And they recognized a number of years ago that kids in our community really have a need to learn about grief after they've lost a significant person to death in their life, and really to be able to be kids and have fun and to see they're not alone throughout that. So we've had Camp Francis, which is a program offered in the summer for kids age 6 to 12. And then we also have Darcy's Hope in the fall for teenage students as a way to get out in nature, to be with their peers, to be with some trained volunteers who really care and love about them, to be able to learn about and express their grief and to start the healing process.
It's not an easy job, I think, to volunteer into. It probably takes a little bit of the right fit, the right person, and some training, I presume.
Definitely. We've been super fortunate that we have a ton of volunteers who are very dedicated to the program, who come from across the state as well as across the nation. A lot of people have had a personal connection with hospice or with loss, and they want to give back to it. And one of the beauties of volunteering with our program is that we always walk away saying that we're filled up more, we get more from it than what we give. But not only do we get to help the kids, we really get to serve the whole families. Oftentimes when there's a loss in a family, parents and grandparents who are helping to support the child don't have time to meet their own needs. Yeah. So through getting the support to the child, we really feel like we meet the needs of families, because we get to do that. So that's where the...
You do a lot of that, according to the bereavement program. Again, working obviously with volunteers, but working with parents. Talk about what you guys do there.
Absolutely. We have a lot of programs. The camps are really the cornerstone of what we do, Camp Francis and Darcy's Hope, which is the teenage camp. We are active in the schools, in the local schools, middle school, high schools, as far as our TAG program. Kathy is part of that at Great Falls High. We have fantastic volunteers that are facilitators that actually go into the schools and support some of the kids and families that have suffered a loss. So we work at that level. We also have a youth group that comes up. They're for the younger kids, and we do a parent night with that that just actively works with grief, helping the kids understand and work their way through it with parents and stuff. So it's an all-encompassing program. We thank you guys for having us because it just gets it out there. It gets the word out there what we're all about. And our goal is to reach as many families and support as many families and kids as we can, not only here in the Great Falls area, but actually – statewide, regionally, as much as we possibly can do, we do.
Well, who is helping? Both of you guys. Who is helping you at Camp Francis? Who are you,
well, you know, we are so fortunate that we have support on so many different levels from donors who may not be able to actually give of their time, mm-hmm. but they want to support the work that we do. We have teenagers who have been to camp or part of the TAG group who want to come and support the younger kids. We've got college graduates who continue to come and give of the program. We have a lot of people, and I'm always impressed with our 20 and 30 somethings who are starting careers who actually have to take an entire week out of their vacation time. And for some of those kids, they only get 2 weeks vacation, but they take a week vacation to come and volunteer with us. We've got teachers, psychologists, retired folks, nurses, people from the healthcare, anybody who has a skill who wants to be part of the program, we have a spot. We've got a dedicated group of cooks. We've got a gopher team of three guys who are just rock stars who haul our garbage, unplug the toilet if there's a need. I mean, you name it, we've got people there who are meeting the needs of the kids and doing what needs to happen so they have a great experience.
Well, and that's why you need a coordinator, too.
Absolutely. Yeah. This lady here, she's my tow rope champion, and so too with the rest of the volunteers. We have about 125 to 130 active volunteers and recruit new ones all the time. And, you know, that's the most important thing to understand about the program is it's totally free to the families.
Thank you.
We get a lot of support from Benefice Foundation and fundraising through them. But the volunteers, it's all on their own dime for the most part. They're people with the biggest hearts in the world, Tom.
Yeah.
Fantastic. It's been nothing but a wonderful experience for me to work up there, work with Kathy, and work with the people. It's just an awesome, awesome program.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that, too. But let's, you know, there are some ups and downs, too, I imagine, in the program for you guys. How do you, and let's get the word out there as far as how people can volunteer, how they can get a hold of you. But also, maybe they're going to be a little bit nervous about volunteering. They want to help. They don't know how to help. How do you get them?
So the very first thing I think to do is just to know that they're going to have an impact. And we always talk, especially in hospice work, that just your presence and validating that feelings that people have and what they're going through are real and that they're normal. So you don't necessarily have to have a real specific skill, just an open heart and open ears, and really your presence, just showing up is so important. We do have a pretty extensive volunteer training that really specifies on children's bereavement so that people are able to identify, you know, what is normal, what is a little bit more intense that families and children might need some professional help with that. So we do a lot of referring. Kevin does a lot of follow-up with the families to see how things are going. And we offer support throughout the whole year through the kids group. You know, we have special services that we meet during the holidays because we know that can be a difficult time.
Yeah.
So truly, if people have an interest in either getting kids involved in the program or volunteering themselves as a teenager or adult, they can start by contacting Kevin, and Kevin will do a really good job of helping to figure out what their skill is and what they can do and how they can best fit.
Right. Just give me a call, 406-455-3065. That's the best way, and I can get information out and paperwork out. One of the things Tom and Kathy alluded to a little bit early, when people volunteer at the program, we kind of let them pick and choose where they want to work. I mean, we have a lot of different areas with our camps and stuff that they can come in and fill a need. We have counselors that do a lot of the facilitating, the grief facilitating, but there are so many other areas. You know, Kathy mentioned the cooks and the maintenance guys and the wood choppers and stuff, but we have so many different areas that they can step in and help that they might be a little bit more comfortable with. But in the end, it's a reward because you see these kids, you see the healing that's going on in the families and stuff like that. The stories are truly tragic that's out there.
Yeah.
There's so much need. And it's just a great heartwarming feeling for all of us to be able to support and to help through this tough time.
Would you guys contact Voices of Montana down the road? We'd love to talk more and follow the program and get, like you say, it's a free service, and I know there's a need. Thank you for filling that need.
Yes, thanks. Absolutely. And we also want to mention just real quickly that you don't have to be from the Great Falls area. We service any child in Montana, anybody who can get here. We've had kids from Canada and Florida come, so our doors are open.
That's a great reminder, by the way. Kathy Van Tegum and also Kevin Sukit. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we're going to line up Tara Beam now. And our tour up tour here in Great Falls at Tracy's Diner. If you're tired of your health care coverage premiums picking your pocket, with Mountain Health Co-op, quality coverage doesn't have to come with a compromise. 24/7 phone access to doctors. Think about that. Zero out-of-pocket costs on most insulins. Think about that. Heart medications and other necessary prescriptions. Contact and connect with mountainhealth.coop to see how you can start saving. Our Toll Rope Tour is all about connections, and we're connecting now with Tara Beam from the Roadhouse Diner. Good morning, Tara. How you doing?
Well, good morning. I'm fabulous. How are you doing?
You are fabulous. I'm doing real good here as well. Thank you for being here. Appreciate that. I understand. Well, let's talk about how you guys, over this pandemic especially, got involved and decided to do what you could do.
Yes. So when this all started, everyone's thinking, what in the world is happening right now? So yeah. I take my little creative ways, and I'm about human connection, interaction.
Great.
So I started doing, number one, little videos for people, whether I was singing, dancing, and also educating. So I would do some cooking videos sometimes. And then I started thinking, I'm not the only one in this situation. Roadhouse is not the only one.
Yeah.
So I started reaching out to local businesses. So we've worked with Dante's, we've worked with The Block, Hempel's Bakery. What we did was we took their ingredients and we called it burger mashups.
You are creative in the kitchen, aren't you? And in other places.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So then what we did was we took that as an opportunity not only to help Roadhouse Diner, but other local businesses in Great Falls. And in Montana, during the COVID, we actually started working with McCafferty Ranch in Belt, Montana. And Central Avenue Meats is our processor over meat. So when you think of the rancher, and then you take the new business, Central Avenue Meats, and then Roadhouse Diner, and we just fit together perfectly.
Nice.
And then we also started working, well, we've always worked with Great Harvest. That's actually who does, they bake our buns.
Yeah.
Like fresh every day with the best buns.
Great store. I love going there.
Yes. And knowing that we work with them as well as now we're getting the farmer involved as well of Montana. So now we have farmers and ranchers and we just speak, we are Montana.
Yeah, yeah. You know, just the connections that you make, they go beyond even what you're doing now. Are you going to continue this, or what's rolling around in Tara Beam's head about how to continue to make a difference in the community?
Right. That's a great question. And yes, we have continued to do burger mashups. We just recently worked with Smoked Barbecue, and we've found that we just have so much in common, and it really benefits everybody, all of our businesses, to work together. And we are still doing crazy specials. I mean, I'm probably more the one that's way out there, and I am still trying to get Guy Fieri here to Great Falls, Montana.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes. We actually had...
He heard about your burgers, so...
Yes. Well, yeah. He actually ate my burgers.
I know, yeah.
With the Food Network, and now we're trying to get him here, because this speaks, we are Montana, and we want him here to experience what we have to offer.
He would love it here.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
So before the pandemic hit, we actually had one of the producers from Triple D visit, and then everything happened. So now we're still gung-ho to try and get him here.
Time runs out too fast here. Thank you for stopping down. What words of wisdom are you going to offer other folks?
I never look at anything as bad or good. It's always a challenge, and a challenge to be creative and to be the best you.
That's great. I appreciate that.
Yes.
Yeah. Want to live longer? They say volunteerism makes all that happen for you. Welcome back. It's a Toll Rope Tour here, brought to you by Mountain Health Co-op. We're in Great Falls, Montana at Tracy's Diner. And we'll talk about what Tracy's Diner has done over the course of this pandemic as well. But we're also celebrating the connections, 406ing, and later on we're going to go 406ing, Kylie, to the First People's Buffalo Jump State Park just down the road. Kylie Myers with us here, spokesperson. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you for being here.
Good.
Yeah. I got to admit, come up to Great Falls, it's always business, so to speak, almost always business. And I drive by the Buffalo Jump, and I go, one of these days I need to stop. So we're stopping today. Tell us about the Buffalo Jump. What is special there?
So the Buffalo Jump is actually the largest Buffalo Jump in North America, both in terms of size and the number of times it was actually used by our native indigenous peoples here.
Yeah, cool.
So it's a massive, amazing natural feature. So lots of really great things happen out there as well. We have a lot of really cool programs coming up, especially with the summer months coming. So
I bet, yeah.
Especially post-COVID as well. It's been very exciting to start planning more.
Yeah, I want to talk about some of those programs too. So the largest Buffalo Jump, who used it? What tribes used it, and how did they use it? I mean, I think people have a fascination about our history, our native history as well. And the Buffalo Jump is one of the Well, it was practical, wasn't it?
Right, definitely. So a lot of tribes used it. We have oral history of every single tribe in Montana using the Buffalo Jump, as well as other tribes coming from Washington, Wyoming, Colorado, even Canada, and the Dakotas as well. So yeah, we have a lot of oral history kind of depicting that. And Buffalo Jumps are a little bit different than people kind of imagine, I guess. A lot of times in those photos or anything like that, you see that bison are like falling off these huge, massive sheer cliffs. But the Buffalo Jump here in Great Falls is actually about a 20-foot cliff. And with the bison would run off the cliff. And you'd think that they would just stop kind of at the edge and be like, oh, no. But they actually, it has like a false plane almost. So it like looks like it just continues onto planes. It doesn't look like there's a sheer cliff edge there until you're right at the edge of it. So then all the momentum of the bison behind them would push them over the edge.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
So it was a great way, especially this was used before horses came to the plains as well. So it was a time where getting bison was a little bit harder to do. You had to sneak up on them a little bit more. You weren't on the horse with your bow and arrow. It was a lot harder time to do that. So with the bison jumps, it was much easier to get tons of bison to go over the edge all at once. And bison were so integral to the native culture, used for literally everything, all parts of daily life, food, shelter, clothing, weapons, anything and everything. So getting that many bison at one point in time was very, very, very important. And a lot of tribes would work together, actually, and come together and work on that so that they could have a successful bison hunt.
A real part of the cultural connection to the Great Falls, to central Montana. Kylie Meyer is with us. She's a spokesperson for the First Peoples Buffalo Jump State Park. Let's talk, well, kind of finish the story there, because as you talked about, they didn't have horses, so they had to have some skill. And timing had to be right to make this happen. And then it wasn't just the buffaloes would fall over the cliff and then get up and run again.
Right.
They were actively talk about how they made it all work once they made that happen.
Definitely. So on the top of our buffalo jump, the buffalo jump is a U shape. So it's kind of like a horseshoe shape, and it elevates up basically to the top where the cliffs are. So we're in a really, really good position between the Sun River and the Missouri River. It was kind of a gathering basin for all of these bison. And so our buffalo runner was a young boy within the tribe, and he would go into the like bison herds and kind of find the lead bison. And he was acting as if he was a small calf. They would put a bison skin, a baby calf, bison skin over them.
I see. Yeah.
And go into the herd and act as if they were hurt. So it would kind of draw that lead bison out and pull them in, and the herd would kind of follow that lead bison. And so it could take a couple of hours, it could take days, it could take a week. And they would drive the bison and pull them up to the top of the cliff where they had drive lines at the top.
Yeah.
It was basically a funnel. So then they would get the bison into there, and then, oh no, I'm not actually a calf. I've been tricking you this whole time. Throw off the bison calf and start running. And all the people along the drive lines would like wave like bison hides, flags, hoot and holler, anything and everything
really
to get the bison to stampede. So they would start stampeding over that cliff. And like we talked about the false plane there, they would start going over the cliff, and that momentum would just carry them over into the kill zone, basically.
Gotcha. Let me move on to what are people going to find when they go and visit the state park, the museums, the trails?
Yeah, definitely. So we have a really, really cool, interactive, very hands-on interpretive center as well. So it takes you through that same thing through the bison hunt, a little bit more about plains culture, the rise and fall of bison. And we actually have a traditional Blackfoot teepee in the interpretive center as well, made out of 13 bison hides. So it's a very, very cool centerpiece that we have in there. We also have a really great classroom and the trails. We have about 7 miles of trails that take you from the visitor center to the top of the Buffalo Jump and then back down again.
Cool.
Yeah.
I wish we had more time. We're going to go visit today, okay,
yes,
and stop
please
by.
Please do. Yes, we would love that. Yeah. Thank you.
Kylie Meyer with us, First People's Buffalo Jump State Park. Thank you, Kylie, for stopping in real quickly. As we are on the Tow Rope Tour, brought to you by Mountain Health Co-op, just celebrating our connections, getting out in 406ing. I talked with our next guest over the phone, and Lucas Sear, it's nice to meet you, sir, man.
You too, Tom. Thank you.
Thank you for being here. All the work that you guys did. Now, Lucas is a co-owner of the Double Barrel Coffee House Cafe, and you created this network with partners, and you wound up putting sack lunch after sack lunch together over a longer period of time. Talk about your contribution, because I think it's important for people to know.
Delivery boy.
Yeah.
that's we just get the honor and privilege of partnering with a really, really big God and delivering what he calls us to into the community.
Amen.
We were at the movie theater last March and on a Sunday, and we got the thing saying schools are shut down. Instantly, my partner's wife sent out a text to us saying, hey, schools are shut down. We know how many kids rely on these lunches for their food. Are you guys up for putting together a sandwich, chips, cookie, fruit into a bag and serving them? And, you know, it was as simple as, is this from God or is this from the devil? And we're like, sounds like a God thing to us. And so made a shopping list, ran to Sam's Club the next morning, put a little thing out on Facebook saying we were going to be handing out some lunches just to let our neighborhood know. Showed up about 9:30 to start making these lunches that we were going to hand out. Thought it'd be like maybe 30, 40, 50 for the neighborhood kids a day. God takes things and blows it up. We've seen him take a little kid's lunchbox, you know, and take a few fish and loaves of bread and multiply it and have leftovers at the end. And that's our real life story. Like 2 days later, we were out of everything that we had purchased. Said, oh boy. But like people just started joining on, you know, saying, hey, we want to help. We didn't know how we could help, but here's $20. Here's $10. Here's 10 loaves of bread. And we just kept seeing it. Of course, it wasn't 2 weeks or 14 days to flatten the curve.
That's the thing.
Yeah. And so we went through those 2 weeks and school was still not back in. So we're like, well, we said we were going to do this. We don't know how we're going to do it. Ended up going through the whole summer and reached when school finally went back in August, September, and came to a halt there. But really, we just got to give a shout out to this community, Great Falls. Like, I don't even know that we can say after that initial cart full of stuff that we purchased any of it. We just got to be, like I said, the delivery boy.
Ah.
We kind of say when God orders something, he pays for it.
Yeah.
You know, so he provided everything. And
was there a certain amount of, I guess not giving your faith amazement to it, but it's still there's a certain amount of amazement to it, isn't there?
Holy moly amazement. Yeah. I mean, really, like I said, the scriptures just came to life. And, what you know, God just said, hey, what do you have? What can you do?
15,000 sack lunches? Is that? I mean, after a while, you probably stop counting. You just start estimating, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, we talked to, so we partnered with the Alliance for Youth, the guys at Set Free Ministries. They were bringing us stuff. But, yeah, when we talked to JT, Pastor JT at Set Free, just a couple weeks ago, he's like, you know, honestly, he's like, if you know that you bought that much bread and purchased, what was donated was probably another double. So he's like, you can probably say 25, 30,000 lunches. And I was like, well, the math points us towards 15, so I'll stay conservative. But, I mean, again, God can do what he wants. It's all his stuff. So.
Lucas Sear is with us here. He's the co-owner of the Double Barrel Coffee House Cafe. As we're hearing the story about how they organized and people came together here, Tow Rope Tour, Voices of Montana. You also, I kind of want to move on to a little bit before we run out of time, and we will. I mean, that's there's a lot of good people to talk about, a lot of people to thank. But who helped you? Who would be a Tow Rope hero for you when you guys, you know, started doing this? Who got on board right away and said, you know, Lucas, let's do it?
Yeah, so obviously our goal was to just keep our people working and keep them busy through that time, not knowing what COVID was going to bring. But instantly, like I said, the community of Great Falls, everything from little old lady bringing in a $5 bill to many businesses, M&D, and Low and Bro, different churches, ADF, Republic Service, Waste Management. I mean, they started doing little things like not only donating money, but they were ordering lunches like for their whole crew, you know, which that kept us busy, you know. And, so, like, it all just came together. But you had the number of individuals, like, just saying, hey, we want to help. And like I said, I remember the lady coming in, and she's like, I got $5. Will that help? And I'll be like, you don't know how far that $5 is going to go.
Two coins. Yeah.
2 coins. Exactly.
You also helped organize the first drive-in church in Great Falls, I understand. And you had a huge attendance in that first week.
Unbelievable. So short story, on Tuesday I got a text from my buddy Joseph. He said, what do you think about drive-in worship? Of course, all the churches are pulling back, closing their doors. I said, sounds like a God thing. A week later, without us really doing anything, we had a pastor that was willing to speak, Pastor JT, and it was simple. He's like, talk about Jesus in front of people. We're like, absolutely. Had a band, a worship, one guy. Had another guy come forward wanting to do communion. Actually had a group guy come up and said, hey, do you need parking lot attendance? We're like, for a few families in a parking lot, probably not, but if you want to come. That night, as the storm was supposed to be coming in from the north, we watched the clouds part, the sunshine, the wind stopped, and as we were at the bottom of the mall parking lot, we look across, and there's people sitting on the roof of their houses, and over 800 people there.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. Thank you for your story. Thank you for your faith. Thank you to all those people who helped. It made a big difference. Thank you for being a total rope hero, Lucas.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having us.
Appreciate that. Co-owner of Double Bell.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
You're listening to a podcast from the live Voices of Montana radio show. Be sure to check out the full podcast page at voicesofmontana.com for a full listing of all our programs. We've been covering Montana issues for more than 20 years. Thanks for listening today.
The fastest hour in Montana radio continues. Call 1-866-627-5483 and join Montana's statewide radio talk show, Voices of Montana, with Tom Schultz.
Welcome back. Some really good stories to tell in the Electric City, in the Great Falls community. We're doing that as we're 406ing and celebrating our connections in the 406 from Montana, for Montana. It's Voices of Montana. I'm Tom Schultz. We're back here at Tracy's Diner. I haven't seen John. John's been real busy, but we'll hopefully have time to kind of tell the story of Tracy's Diner here in just a bit. I have a friend from Great Falls named Dave Snuggs, and when you talk about a tow rope hero, he is a guy, he's probably got He's probably got multiple tow ropes in his car. And what he has started was a program called My Neighbor in Need. And then that blossomed into My Student in Need. And that's in over, I think, 160 schools across Montana. Dave doesn't have a headset right now because, again, humble guy that he is, he gave his headset to Scott Wilson and also Sharon Kegarice. Good morning, you guys. How are you guys doing?
Good morning. How are you?
Sharon, thank you for being here. Scott?
Yeah, good morning, Tom. How are you doing today?
Hanging in there. So I want to have, and then we'll talk with Dave a little bit. In fact, we can talk about Dave. How's that go?
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah. You guys help Dave. We'll start with you, Scott.
Okay.
Owner of Cascade Electric. Dave told me a story about how you guys help him so much. Let's just start with some of the things that you guys will do when you go to My Neighbor in Need, or Dave calls you up and says, we have this sort of need. What do you do? Why do you do it, Scott?
Well, you know, one of the first things I'll let you know about Dave, you don't want to say no to Dave. You just can't. I mean, his passion, his love for the community of Great Falls, and his need that he wants just to help one person at a time, one family at a time, and one community is infectious. So, you know, we will help Dave any way we can. And I talked to one of my good friends, and he's also our estimator down at the shop. We'll help Dave out on electrical services or panels or inspections. But, you know, we want to, our theory is to just, you know, pay it forward. And hopefully that's infectious. Dave's a great guy to work with. We're helping the community of Great Falls in that way.
Thank you for doing that. I'll tell you, when people need electrical needs, they're up against the wall, aren't they?
Oh,
you know, oftentimes. It's not something you want to do yourself.
Yes, exactly. You know, and unfortunately, you know, I have to say no just because we just don't have the help all the time. And mm-hmm. and we get calls from the high line, and we just we can't even help the people who Great Falls sometimes because I just don't have enough electricians. But
now, I'll say this. This is Dave Snyks. Scott's being awful humble here. One thing that happens is we get a call for a need request through my neighbor Neve for electrical work. And the first thing I do is I call Scott or I call Heath, and they go out there free of charge. And they find out what's wrong, and they call me back up, and they say, easy fix. We can do it for a discounted price. Or, wow, this house is going to burn down soon. What do we need to do to get it fixed? And they immediately jump in. Without being paid, they jump in, they come back to me, and they say, all right, Dave, normally it costs, say, $400, but for you, we'll do it for $200.
Wow.
And then we put it out there on the website, and the donors pay that bill. But these are the first lines of defense.
Yeah.
I mean, they've saved numerous homes from burning down. We had one home in Highwood that literally, when their tech got there, the box was literally cracking, just like sending out sparks. And they stopped it, fixed it, and saved that person's home. So he's being way too humble.
That's good.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah. Who would you – I'm going to ask you – I mean, we'll talk to Sharon here in just a minute as well. But who is your toro piro? Who is somebody – and maybe it's Dave. Somebody you know who always carries that tow rope to help community members.
Oh, wow. I'd say Dave is definitely one of the first people I think of. How I got into the business, actually. I'm a third-generation contractor, and when my dad passed away, a lot of his friends, contractors, helped me a lot. I mean, I could speak of a lot of names, but a good friend of mine, we were just talking a little while ago, I'd like to shoot out to Brian Kaufman from Kaufman's Menwares. I mean, Brian's been great, but a lot of my dad's friends, Dick Paycheck, Bob Sletten, just to name a few right there. Vern Waldenberg, I think longtime business people and just citizens of Great Falls and Central Montana just have been tremendous in helping me support what I try to do, too, and we work together.
And so, I suppose that's a part of you're honoring them when you give back.
Yes. Oh, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. And I remember when Dave asked me, I thought, well, it's not about us. It's about supporting and being behind the scenes and just making sure that people are safe and doing it right.
Yeah. I mean, that's a critical need. It really is.
It is.
This is Scott Wilson, owner-manager of Cascade Electric. They've been in business since 1917, as you said, the third generation there. A part of that My Neighbor in Need program with Dave Snuggs. Dave, let's talk about Sharon Kegarice, North Central Independent Living Services.
Absolutely.
Hi, how are you?
So Sharon and their organization, they are truly angels because they've been working with the disabled community since 1989.
Yes, that is correct.
And Sharon is our leader in the field. Whenever we get a need request for someone who's disabled, after we vet the need, we put the need on the My Neighbor Need website. And usually most requests are for like a bed. Beds are our number one request. And usually 9 times out of 10, within 2 days, we get a call from Sharon or in her office saying, we're going to buy them a brand new bed. We weren't asking for a new bed. We're asking for just a used, clean bed.
Yeah.
But they won't tolerate that. They're like, you know what? We're passionate about taking care of our disabled community. They buy a brand new bed, and they deliver it. So right now we have a need request on there that was put on last week for a disabled lady that needed a full-size bed. Before we could even talk about it on the radio or on the newspaper, they already fulfilled it. These people here are amazing, and Sharon is the leader of the team.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So we're a local nonprofit who helps people with disabilities. We got involved with My Neighbor in Need when COVID hit, and we were able to get some additional CARES Act money, where we were able to fulfill these needs in a way that we weren't able to before. Usually we can't help with situations like that where somebody needs a bed or rent, something like that. Our funding doesn't allow us to do that.
Yeah.
And so when we got this additional CARES Act money, we've been able to help so many people with things that they just didn't have the ability to purchase for themselves.
What a blessing.
And My Neighbor in Need has been a great service and additional help for us in being able to find those people that need those items.
Yeah, and that independent living is so valuable to people.
It is. We have great programs and a great staff. And we couldn't do any of it without the boss man, Tom Osborne. He's amazing. He has helped me grow in this industry in a way that I never imagined I would. I came into this not knowing a whole lot about people with disabilities, and now it's my passion. So
yeah. Well, I wish we had more time, but you know what? There's tomorrow, and there's the next day, and the next day, and you guys will continue filling needs. And so we're going to stay in touch, okay?
Absolutely.
Yep, yep. I'm going to whenever you guys have needs, that's part of what we want to do here, from Montana for Montana. So reach out. Thank you for what you're doing. Who's your total hero, Sharon?
I would probably have to go with my boss.
Yeah.
Tom Osborne. He's pretty awesome.
That's nice. Yeah. Cool. Well, you thank Tom for us. Dave, good catching up with you.
Absolutely.
Yep, yep.
I got to say one thing. My toe rope's my wife, because when I first invented my neighbor need, I didn't tell her. And then she found it afterwards, and she gave me that look. And I realized after that, if you have any ideas out there, people, always share with your spouse first.
Yeah.
Thanks,
Tom. Appreciate it. Yeah, and don't worry, that's going to heal, okay? That whole black eye thing. I think you'll get over that. No, thank you, Dave. Appreciate that. Yeah. Yeah. We're going to take a break, and we'll come on back and talk with Pasta Montana here in just a little bit. All right, back here from Montana, for Montana, Tree Creek Diner in Great Falls. If you guys want to take part, go to voicesofmontana.com or go to northernbroadcasting.com. Look up Tow Rope Tour, because we are celebrating our connections in the 406. Next segment, Pasta Montana. Colter Brown has got it.
Well, Tom, I appreciate you letting me crash in on the party a little bit here. We're joined, like you say, Pasta Montana, Randy Gilbertson, COO, and Tanya Kozlowski with Human Resources at Pasta Montana. Now, we like Pasta Montana on the Northern Egg Network because you buy Montana wheat. That's our favorite part about your business. And boy, it seems like in the last year, people must have been buying more pasta, with more people staying at home, less eating out. Did that benefit your business?
It did, for sure, Colter. Absolutely. Our business was great last year. The pasta industry was crazy. Apologize perhaps for some of the empty shelves that were out there, but you know, our business really took off, and our folks really responded to an increase in demand. We had to shift away from perhaps some of the more usual types of packing that we do for food service and restaurants, and shift over to different types of pasta for the different demand that we saw last year.
Sure. And Pasta Montana was nominated as a Tow Rope Hero by Mountain Health Co-op because you guys took the opportunity to donate to schools, to the rescue mission, a lot of different areas. Tanya, can you tell us a little about, I mean, what was the impetus? You guys just felt the need to give to the community?
So we have a great group of people. We have a community involvement group, and they decided that they wanted to help give back to our community and our surrounding areas. We donated over 20,000 pounds. Our community involvement group did that because they did want to give back to our community.
Wow, wow. Well, Randy, tell us, I mean, that's such a large amount to donate, but people really need it. And it's an opportunity for your business, who may have had a good year because the people were demanding pasta, but an opportunity to give to the people that need the help.
You know, that's right. Yep. Community involvement committee was developed a few years back, really to get Pasta Montana's name out there, provide opportunities for our folks to have Pasta Montana sponsor their son's t-ball team or something like that. And of course, a lot of those different activities were shut down last year, and that committee came forth with a proposal to, you know what, let's take some of the opportunities that we have and donate some pasta and help the community in that way. So, yep, they really stepped up, really responded. Very fortunate to have a group like that.
Well, as we're getting towards the end of the show here, you know, one of the things we've realized is that people don't love to talk about themselves. They love to talk about others. Who would you guys highlight as Tow Rope Heroes, people that have done a lot for the community, maybe within Pasta Montana or maybe just within the Great Falls City as a whole?
Well, our employees have donated back. You know, they would purchase pasta themselves and donate it to individuals that need it, individuals in the food, you know, food industry. Also we donate to fundraisers. If somebody who's having medical issues or cancer fundraisers, we donate pasta to that as well. Organizations, we have great organizations here today You know, Double Barrel does great things. The Roadhouse. We're extremely fortunate to live in the community that we have, or that we live in. We are very supportive of each other.
Well, that's great. Well, we love that because it's great food, it's helping people, and it's raised in Montana. I think that's our favorite part. And the farmers that you work with, as we wrap up, they're getting along pretty well. Glad to see some moisture, I'm sure.
They are, absolutely. Yep, we're hopeful to get our durum crop into the ground here pretty soon. So need a little more moisture. So, yep, we'll take it in any form we can get it.
That's for darn sure. Well, I appreciate you guys coming by so much. Hang around with us here. We're going to be at Tracy's Diner for the next 2 hours, actually. We'll be live on the air here on 1450 AM in Great Falls. And, Tom, we about made it to the end, but there's more fun for us coming up.
Yeah, there is. Jamie Marshall is going to be alongside here a little bit on the local station, as you mentioned. Thank you guys again. Appreciate the work that you do and the volunteer. You know, are you guys happier and healthier because of the volunteerism?
Yes.
Yep.
It feels good. It makes us feel good to help people. And thank you very much for Montana Health Co-op and Burn Insurance for nominating us. We appreciate that very much.
Well, scientists would agree with you, by the way. Thank you again. We'll come on back on our local station here in just a little bit. Colter Brown, appreciate that, too. As I mentioned, we have got Jamie Marshall to talk to. I want to thank John Barnes and Tracy's Diner as well. Didn't get a chance to talk to John, but he has been instrumental during this pandemic in serving frontline workers and first responders and having free meals for them as John Barnes. Tracy's Diner here, a diner that the community for 50 years closed recently. They reopened it, and it's a classic diner, and it's just charged up in here, too. All right. I want to thank Eric Young, our in-studio engineer. We are in Helena tomorrow. Big thanks to Mountain Health Co-op, as you mentioned, and that's going to do it for the Great Falls edition locally. We're back here on KQDI in just a bit. Thank you, guys.
You've been listening to Voices of Montana. Comments and opinions heard are those of the host or callers, and not necessarily those of this station, sponsors, or Northern News Network. Join us Monday through Friday at 9:06 for Voices of Montana.